I have the great pleasure of introducing you to our next speaker. She was a former Miss Bergen County, a Miss New Jersey 2006, representing our state in the Miss America pageant, and she is also a chronic asthma sufferer. Georgie, as we affectionately call her, because she happens to be my sister, has functioned in the capacity as a spokesperson for the American Lung Association, and she's been an outspoken advocate in asthma awareness for many years. She has testified in front of the United States Congress several times, and she is our newest board member of Normal, New Jersey. Please, everyone, help me welcome Georgine DeMaria, Miss New Jersey 2006.
Thanks, Brad. I love you. Well, bear with me, everyone. This has been certainly a very long journey for me. I remember it quite vividly. I was 5 years old in my pediatrician's office, having great difficulty breathing, feeling as though someone had placed a 500-pound weight on my chest. By the time my doctor's visit was over, I had been diagnosed with reactive airway disease, better known as asthma. Little did I know how greatly this was going to affect my life. Asthma is a common chronic obstructive lung disease caused by an increased reaction of the airways and characterized by airway inflammation and tightness. It affects over 20 million people in the United States, with at least 30 million people going misdiagnosed or completely undiagnosed from lack of education. When your airways tighten, airflow ceases, thus depriving you of oxygen and killing you within seconds. This consequently causes severe distress and panic for the sufferer before ultimate death arises with no rescue treatment. Each asthma attack is a brush with death. The best way I can describe it to those of you who have never experienced such torture is the feeling of drowning. Now, you would never want to drown, but this is exactly what an asthma attack feels like. You are literally a fish out of water. Trust me. No asthma attack is any different from drowning. The path the disease has put me on is a twisting road, and I never know what turn it is going to take. For a while, I had my illness under control with the use of preventative and rescue medications. Unfortunately, however, upon the age of 13, I developed side effects to those medications, not only no longer rendering them useful, but they gave me severe chest pain, causing me to believe I was having a heart attack at the age of 13. Well, that brought on severe chest pain and, of course, the fear that I had no longer had a rescue medication. And no longer having that rescue presented, of course, a serious problem because I was left with no alternative for treatment and nothing to save my life in time of need. Life at 8 years old, believe it or not, became very stressful and overwhelming, and I needed help to cope. I have had to sacrifice many things that I enjoy because of asthma, including a typical education and social environment. My immune deficiency left me with no alternative other than to be homeschooled for most of middle school and high school, and I was frequently prevented from participating in activities. Unfortunately, asthma is quixotic, and treatments are not always effective due to a poor understanding of asthma and its unpredictable nature. Not everyone is supportive, and doctors aren't always able to help you. After much experimentation with dangerous steroid treatments and toxic caffeine remedies, my young body quickly turned into that of a 90-year-old man due to so much wear and tear from totally worthless treatments. After being basically bedridden from the age of 13 to 17, I had decided that I had suffered long enough. Either I was going to get busy living or get busy dying, and I realized, as young as I was, that control had to come from an additional source and that self-help was my only recourse. Finding the ultimate treatment for asthma can take much time and effort because it manifests itself differently in each patient. It is consequently necessary to have as a primary goal the seeking of a proper management plan as well as a supportive management team to address each sufferer's particular maladies while all along training oneself to cope with the debilitating effects, unbearable and frightening aspects of asthma. I'm a person, obviously, who accepts challenges. So I did accept this challenge and turned what would have normally been a negative force in my life into a positive one. My situation compelled me into deep self-introspection, the result of which has been extremely maturing and educational. I informed myself about every aspect of the disease and have been on a very long journey to finding the best possible treatment and management plan for my condition with limited use of medications. I also made it a mission to educate my family, friends, and those in my daily life as to the severity of asthma and the grave importance of their understanding and support. After all, everyone needs an advocate by their side. My life has certainly been far from normal due to my poor health. I was determined, however, not to let my health impair my freedom. I needed to take control of my life. As a result of my outlook, I have accomplished countless tasks. Through breathing techniques and meditative concentration, I have somehow managed to overcome much of the debilitating effects of asthma to pursue my goals. At the age of 17, after I learned to basically live with all those terrible symptoms of asthma, I felt it was imperative for all other asthmatics to know that they are not alone and that this struggle can be overcome. In 2001, I decided to join the fight against asthma by using my personal experiences with the disease as a spokesperson for the American Lung Association of New Jersey. Shortly afterward, I founded my own nonprofit asthma fundraising organization, A Matter of Life and Breath, through which I have raised over $20,000 to benefit research and asthma educational camps for children and programs, and ultimately, of course, to find a cure. When it came time to go back to school after being sick for so long, I was in need of funding in order to attend college. Through research for scholarship opportunities, I realized that the Miss America organization is the largest scholarship provider for women in the world. Since I had already had a talent, having played the violin since the age of 7, and I had a perfect platform of asthma education and advocacy, I entered and qualified to compete for the Miss New Jersey competition, an official preliminary to the Miss America competition. On June 17, 2006, I'm extremely proud to say that I won the title of Miss New Jersey and traveled the state and country as the representative of the Garden State, teaching all those with whom I came in contact about the great value of their ability to breathe. My status quickly jumped from state spokesperson to national spokesperson for the American Lung Association, specifically for asthma and tobacco control. While spreading the word about lung health to others, especially helping pediatric asthmatics to cope, my own health has remained a great challenge for me, despite my efforts. When I can breathe, I perform perfectly. But when asthma unexpectedly rears its ugly head, I then find myself ill with pneumonia for the 10th time, not being able to drive, walk, or talk. Asthma is frustrating, horrifying, depressing, embarrassing, and far too often fatal. That is why I believe it is so vital to keep asthma and its rising prevalence under control and for all asthmatics to be in command of their disease rather than fall prey to it. I have proven time and time again that once this is achieved, all else is possible. As Miss New Jersey, it is well known that my work for patients' rights is extensive, and my personal story with asthma has certainly served as inspiration for many. However, there is a large part of my life and my treatment for asthma that no one other than my closest family and friends know about. About 10 years ago, my Uncle Tony was dying from cancer and suffering from wasting syndrome. His only rescue was from the debilitating effects of cancer treatments and cancer was the use of medicinal marijuana. It was his success with marijuana's medicinal benefits which initially struck my curiosity to the plant. After asking my own doctor about marijuana's benefits, I learned that when used appropriately, marijuana could actually provide relief for my most severe asthmatic symptoms, as the substance actually serves as a bronchodilator. Under this recommendation, I retreated to a safe environment, a controlled environment out of state, under the supervision of my family, and used marijuana medicinally for the first time via vaporization. At this point, I had been struggling to breathe constantly for 8 months, So when my airways opened up and I got immediate relief from the plant within 15 seconds, needless to say, I was shocked, I was extremely relieved, and so grateful for having finally found my miracle treatment. Unfortunately, though, upon returning to the state of New Jersey, I no longer had access to this medical marijuana due to its illegal status and was forced to continue suffering from asthma every day, knowing very well all along that there is this miracle drug out there to save my life, and I could not by any means have access to it. That was and continues to be the most frustrating, helpless, and hopeless feeling of all. My aim is, and always has been, to educate the general public through continuing to work alongside the American Lung Association, as well as heading my own nonprofit fundraising organization, A Matter of Life and Breath. As Miss New Jersey, I have been an advocate on behalf of the 24 million asthmatics in our country, the diagnosed asthmatics in our country, and I have helped to establish national guidelines for proper diagnosis and treatment of asthma, and I have set national and international standards to improve quality of care. I return to Washington, D.C., as my brother Fred said before, each year to address Congress, encourage federal funding for asthma prevention and research programs, and to promote the strengthening of laws that protect patients' rights. Now, as I travel nationally with my mission to help everyone breathe easier, I am so proud to do so as an active volunteer and member and spokeswoman for Normal, New Jersey. I hope that my involvement with this organization and others alike will further my successful work for patients' rights. I believe wholeheartedly that everyone deserves a chance to breathe easier. I cannot stress that enough. And if I have my way, certainly everyone, at least in New Jersey, will breathe easier. Statistically, asthma accounts for about 14 million missed school and work days a year, 500,000 hospitalizations a year, and costs our economy approximately $14 billion annually to treat. Its rise in prevalence leads to higher costs each day. Most shockingly, asthma accounts for 12 deaths every day. And these are people who died from asthma episodes when their deaths were completely preventable had they had the access to a rescue drug. One of the key components for asthma control that goes completely unnoticed is pharmacological therapy, under which, of course, marijuana falls. Asthma is a silent epidemic. It cannot yet be cured, but it certainly can be managed, especially if marijuana is made available as an option for treatment for suffering patients. After all, asthma medications are meant to help reduce underlying inflammation in the airways and relieve or prevent symptomatic airway narrowing. Marijuana is now known to be an effective bronchodilator, making it useful as a rescue medication for asthmatics during asthma episodes. Its active ingredient, tetrahydrocannabinol, is especially beneficial for asthmatics during an asthma episode when vaporized and serves as an anti-inflammatory for the airways, thus loosening restriction and increasing airflow, therefore saving many lives. As for long-term care, ultimately, the control of inflammation to the airways should lead to reduction in airway sensitivity and help prevent airway obstruction completely. This only proves to me even more so that marijuana needs to be made available to those who have lung and immune deficiency disorders. Until now, I have been solely the name and the face of asthma. I officially and proudly now add compassionate use of medical marijuana to my patients' rights platform. I am the voice for those who do not have the breath to speak. And through all of this, I am a role model by sharing my personal experiences with a chronic disease and all of my accomplishments in spite of it, in large part due to my support and use of what I and many others, I'm sure many of you, consider to be a miracle medication, marijuana. My fight to breathe has undoubtedly compelled me into my extensive service for asthmatics and general lung health. And after 8 years of advocacy, my efforts have resulted in the passing of the first federal law for asthmatic patients, allowing all sufferers to carry and self-administer rescue and anaphylaxis medications at all times. I am proud to have been instrumental in such a breakthrough, and I will continue to fight for patients' rights. Naturally, then, when I was given the opportunity to host the 420 Freedom Forum today and speak, coming out officially after so many years as an official medical marijuana patient, I realized that my work getting the bill for asthmatics passed is very similar to how I approached the passing of this medical marijuana bill. No one should have the right to keep asthmatics from being able to carry and self-administer their medications at all times. And similarly, no one should have the right to deny us who suffer every day access to something that could potentially save our lives. Let's all be angry at this. Let's be angry that we've been stripped of our rights. Let's be angry that each day we have to fight the legality of medical marijuana is another day that we destroy our quality of life. A plant that can be grown in our backyards as readily as other homeopathic remedies, including fruits and vegetables we ingest on a daily basis. A plant that has been used medicinally for centuries by our forefathers and ancestors. A plant that can save and help heal lives is one that we are told we can't grow or have access to, and all because of common misconceptions and a lack of education. This is precisely why now is the most crucial time for medical marijuana in New Jersey. At this point in the game, either a bill flies or it falls. We as advocates, patients, and supporters alike need to be a driving force for this bill, and we must encourage members of the Assembly to make this bill their priority, because each minute wasted, another life is lost and another patient suffers greatly. Sometimes, as in my particular case with asthma, treatment is nearly impossible. It is gravely important that we who suffer have every opportunity to get better and to thrive. If marijuana can be a miracle drug for even just one of us, who should have the right to deny us access to something that could potentially, again, save our lives? Please, let us have our potential miracle drug. Please give us our hope back. Please restore our lives by passing the New Jersey Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act. Governor Corzine, wherever you are, your support of this bill is a breath of fresh air and a gleam of hope for all New Jersey citizens. However, you have yet to do enough to show your support. I implore you, if you genuinely believe in marijuana's medicinal benefits, as you say you do, be more vocal about it. Let it be known unmistakably that you support medical marijuana patients and further research to explore the plant's benefits, and that you will promptly sign the bill and pass it into law. Give the Assembly Health Committee no reason to hesitate sending it your way. Next, I of course implore you, members of the Assembly, to make this bill your priority. Do not let another person suffer unnecessarily. Be our heroes and help save our lives. Vote now and allow us all in New Jersey to breathe a little bit easier. And finally, our compassionate and encouraging audience today. Obviously, I'm preaching to the choir this afternoon with all of you. Obviously, you're already in support, and you've proven so by being here with us today. Unfortunately, though, being here is not enough. It is what you do and say after you leave this forum today which matters most. Your advocacy is what will accelerate the passing of this bill. If you don't know what you can do to help, I'll tell you. What can be easier than that? Aside from educating everyone in your daily life about what you have learned and what you stand for, stress to them the great importance of their understanding and support. There is also something you can do which may seem minute, but is actually extremely beneficial. Please go to Normal's website. You can also go to my website, georginedemaria.com. Sign the formatted letter stated to go to the Assemblymen in support of the medical marijuana bill and forward it as quickly as you possibly can. Even add your own personal touches to the story to further the reality that we are all in favor of the right to heal. One letter signed by me alone may not do much. It might be overlooked, but thousands of letters of support from all of you cannot be overlooked and certainly cannot be ignored. Believe me, together we can all make a huge difference. I encourage you all to please band together to influence reform in New Jersey. Every breath is precious. No one should have to struggle to breathe. No one should have to struggle to live. Asthmatic or not, we all must remember again that our breath is our life, and when you cannot breathe, trust me, nothing else matters. From asthma to glaucoma, let's get this bill passed so that we can finally improve life in New Jersey, one breath at a time. Thank you very much.